Well, yesterday, 20 years ago, there was a flight heading out to San Francisco, and on that flight was a 32-year-old gentleman who just left to take a trip out to for work. He works for Oracle, and said goodbye to his wife, his two little ones, and on the plane flight he was going, made this trip many, many, many times. There was a lady who got up that same morning, went to work, as she had done for 15, 20 years, same as always. And as this plane was traveling to San Francisco, everything changed. Three men got up, wielding box cutter knives. One claiming to have a bomb, rushed the cockpit, overthrew the pilots, shut the door, and the plane was hijacked. The 32-year-old man named Todd Beamer got on the phone and he called the airphone operator to let them know what was going on. The first person he talked to, he couldn't get much out of her because she was just absolute shocked that she was talking to somebody in a hijacked plane. Also knowing in the back of her mind what had just happened, what she had seen on TV, that the person in the airplane at that time didn't know was two planes hitting the towers in New York. By then, the supervisor who was there at that time, Lisa Jefferson, she realized that her co-worker or her employee was having a hard time, and she took over the phone from her. And so she proceeded to talk to Todd Beamer on the phone. And you can read all the transcript of that incredible conversation. If you read through the conversation, it's absolutely amazing to think that these two people, one just a young man and another woman who, you know, went to work today, just think it was going to be a normal day. And the fact that their conversation between each other was absolutely amazing because of how calm and how professional and how just dealing with the situation in such a huge crisis. Neither one of them had ever really planned for something like this. But to see how they dealt with that was absolutely amazing. Todd gets on the phone. He says, "Hello, operator, listen to me. I can't speak very loud. This is an emergency. I'm a passenger on United flight to San Francisco. We have a situation here. Our plane has been hijacked. Can you understand me?" Lisa, the operator, exhaling a deep breath to herself, "I understand. Can the hijackers see you talking on the plane?" Todd proceeds just to kind of explain to her the situation and what was going on at that moment. And then the operator, Lisa, she says, "Has anyone been injured?" Todd says, "Yes, they killed one of the passengers sitting in first class. There's been lots of shouting. We don't know if the pilots are dead or alive." She begins to talk about what's going on. And then all of a sudden, Todd says in the phone, "Oh, Jesus, help." By which the operator, Lisa, says, "Todd, are you okay? What's happening?" And in that 14-minute conversation, in just a moment lapse of just stress, Todd says, "Hello, we're going down. I think we're going to crash. Wait a minute. No, we're leveling off. We're okay. I think we may be turning around. That's it. We've changed directions. Do you hear me? We're flying east." And so he goes on and proceeds that other people have called other people and other family members and heard that two planes had hit the towers in New York, by which the operator says, "Todd, I have to tell you the truth. It's very bad. The World Trade Center is gone. Both of the towers have been destroyed." And Todd says, "Oh God, help us." Lisa says, "A third plane has taken over by terrorists. It crashed into the Pentagon in Washington, D.C. Our country is under attack, and I'm afraid that your plane may be part of their plan." By which Todd says, "Oh, dear God, dear God. Lisa, will you do something for me?" The operator, Lisa, says, "I'll try if I can, yes." Todd says, "I want you to make a call to my wife and my kids for me and tell them what's happened. Promise me you'll call." "Lisa, I promise, I'll call." And Todd says, "Our home phone number is," and he gives him the home phone number. "You have the same name as my wife, Lisa. We've been married 10 years. She's pregnant with our third child. Tell her that I love her." Choking up, I'll always love her. Clearing throat. We have two boys, David, he's three, and Andrew, he's one. Tell them, choking up, tell them that their daddy loves them and that he's so proud of them. Clearing his throat again. Our baby is due January 12th. I saw an ultrasound. It was great. We still don't know if it's a girl or a boy. Lisa, are you there? Collects himself. He collects himself and Lisa says, barely able to speak. I'll tell them, I promise, Todd. By then, they kind of get back into the situation of what's going on there, and an FBI agent gets on the call with them both, begins to express what is going on, let them know that tracking their plane, they're heading towards Washington, D.C. They'll probably be getting into Washington, D.C. At their target within 20 minutes. Todd, breathing a little heavier. The plane seems to be changing directions just a little. It's getting pretty rough up here. The plane is flying real erratic. We're not going to make it out here. Listen to me. I want you to hear this. I've talked with the others. We've decided we would not be pawns in these hijacker suicide plot. Begins to explain what's going to happen here. And he says, we'll take them out. By which he says, Lisa, will you do one last thing for me? And Lisa said, yes. What is it? Would you pray with me? And so they prayed. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive our trespassers. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters, restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And then Todd says, softer, God help me. Jesus, helps me, help me. And then he says, are you guys ready? Let's roll. They go and they wrestle over the plane and over a field in Pennsylvania, traveling at 564, I believe, miles an hour. They hit the ground and they all died instantly. One of the things you have to know about this amazing man, and really in a lot of ways, this amazing lady on the phone who calmly and collectively processed and worked through this, is both of them love Jesus Christ. One of the things about Todd Beamer went to Wheaton College, which is just an absolutely fantastic Christian university in Chicago, Illinois. That's where he met his wife, Lisa, there. He and Lisa in their early 30s were Sunday school teachers. Every single week, they were always there, part of their local community, and serving the next generation there. And just love the Lord. Lisa Jefferson, the operator, too, went to a church there. She was working there in Chicago, and she, too, was part of a local community by which she would say that she would find her strength and her faith in the Lord, and also the strength in their community of believers there. And later on in an interview, Lisa said that during that phone call, one of the things that always impressed her was how calm Todd was, except for those two moments when he was thinking about his family and thinking about they were about to nosedive. But in that 14 minutes, he was calm and collective in such a difficult place. Blew her mind. Lisa Beamer, Todd's wife, would later say that she believed it was because Todd understood his relationship with Jesus Christ, where he was going, and also his love for other people. That one of the things that makes us a strange family when we follow Jesus Christ is that we are people that God has called not to take life from other people, but that we would give up our lives to give life to other people. In 9/11, people all over our country were getting on their knees, praying and talking to God. They were running to places of worship to gather together like this, to comfort each other and console each other and to encourage each other and remind each other that Jesus is alive, that we do live in a broken and hard and difficult world. But if we do this thing together, we can make it, and we can thrive, and we can grow, and we can be there for each other. That was the vision. And it looked like, if you've been around for 20 years and you were there 20 years ago, that was looked like the vision. Like, this is, looks like this thing is really happening. God is bringing his people together. It's horrific that it took 3,000 people's lives in order to get us all together, but we're getting together, finally. But over the last 20 years, we became safe again. We stopped gathering again. And stopped meeting together again, and stopped doing life together. And we got busy again, and we got distracted again. And for the first time in the history of our country, more people aren't even a part of a church. Less people are gathering together to encourage each other, to be there for each other. More people are isolated than ever before. Anxiety, depression, all of that is growing, 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 growing. Because we forgot what makes us whole, what makes us healthy, what makes us strong. And what that is you and I together, doing life together, to remind us of our good Father. That we would be a family with the centerpiece of our Heavenly Father right there at the center, to be the sustainer and grower of our relationships. We forgot that. So we decided we wanted to do this series, because especially over COVID, we've really forgotten it. We've gotten at each other's throats. We've gotten divided. We've gotten distracted. And we forgot our unity is around our Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's time for us to come back home. To be a family again. It's always God's vision. It's always what God has desired for us to be, which is a family. But if you've been walking through us in this series, you found in the first week, as we kind of looked at, we're not really good at this family thing. We're a lot better at kind of destroying it and making it harder and difficult. And that thing, that struggle, goes all the way back from the very beginning of time. See, when God made us, He made us to be a family, right? Y'all remember that? God made us a family, but what happened? We became strangers, right? He made a family. He said, this is how it's going to work. Adam and Eve, you're going to be a family. You're going to have kids. It's going to be a family. You're going to populate the globe, and it's going to be one big family with me as your father, caretaker and lover and sustainer of your family. But they got selfish. They got distrustful of God. They wanted more. And isn't that kind of the root of a lot of our broken relationships? And we see they broke their relationship with God. And God went to kind of confront them on this breaking of this relationship. And we see in Genesis chapter 3, where when God comes to them, speaks to them, and Adam says to God, I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. There's the rift of that relationship. And then he said, I was afraid because I'm naked. I've been exposed of my, wrong. And then you see the continued breaking of the relationship through blaming each other. So Adam, then it was, it wasn't my fault. It was the woman that you gave me, God. And then Eve blamed the serpent, and you see the breakdown there. Rather than, Father, you're so good to me. I blew it. I distrusted you, and I'm sorry. I take full responsibility. We're in this thing together. We want to restore and have this relationship with you. But we see that that didn't happen. And the brokenness of relationships have now abounded all over the place. It is national in the way that we think about terrorists in other countries around the world. And it's also close at home within our own churches, our own homes, our own neighborhoods, our own communities. We're in this place where we don't have this sense of relational freedom that I think all of us desire to have, and what God desires for us to have. But God, in his good grace, decided and didn't want us to leave us there. He wanted us to bring us back into a family. And that's why we say around here as we look through scriptures and see God's plan and see God's love. Is that really God, what he wants to do? He wants to take strangers like you and I and to make us family, to bring us back together into a family. Paul said it well when he said in Ephesians chapter 2, he said, hey, you know what? So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers. The word stranger means outsider, means other, different, okay? To that you would no longer be strangers or foreigners. That, you know, that now you are citizens along with all God's holy people and that you are members of God's what? Family, brothers and sisters, all of everybody together with God our Father as the center of that relationship. But the question is how do we do that? How do we now become this family? It's hard for us. We're not used to it, like I said. It's clunky. It's difficult. It's even harder for us here in the 21st century, is it not? Because back in 2,000 years ago, community was a lot different than it is today. 2,000 years ago, you would, if you were part of just a little house church, you would gather together with your little church there, and you would see each other every single day. Why? Because the communities were very small. There was no urban sprawl. There were no cars, no planes, no none of these things. People usually lived in the same town for better or for worse, but there was community there. And so you would worship with these people and you would do life with them. You would have dinner with them because they just live next door. And it's just kind of what you did as far as a community. Today we struggle because now we gather together maybe for an hour, but we may not, and if we gather maybe 50% of the time, we see each other maybe 2 hours out of the whole month. And so there's really no opportunity for us to really connect deeply, like the way that I believe that God really envisioned for us to connect. And so how do we do that? How do we do that when we live, you know, a very different, distracted, all over the place kind of lifestyle today in the 21st century? I don't really know and really have all the answers to it, but I do know at least that we should at least take heed to what Scripture teaches us about how we should begin to do life to each other, with each other. One of my favorite verses when it comes to the church, when you say, Tyler, what is your vision for the church? What do you desire for the church? You know, let me tell you what I don't desire. I don't desire church just to be a program where you hear me speak or hear Caleb speak or somebody speak, or we do a bunch of events and we're just kind of busy all the time. And it's just kind of one way. Somebody talks, somebody listens. This is really, I think, what God envisioned for us, you know, to be in the relationships that he desires for us to have in order for us to really become a family. So he says, so Scripture says here in Hebrews, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Wouldn't that be great? When you think about the body of Christ, when you think about this family and how this family is to interact with each other, the way that this family should interact with each other is we should be a people that encourages each other to keep loving each other, to persevere in loving with one another. We're gonna get on each other's nerves. We're gonna do it wrong sometimes, but let's work together and continue to work to each other to love each other. And let's do people that goes out and be the people who does good deeds to other people. Why? Because we just are a change by the love of God. We just go do things with people. We don't try to get any benefit from it. We don't try to get any notoriety to do it. We just go do it because that's what our Savior Jesus did for us. And so we just go and ask God, change our hearts so we would be the people who go and just love people well and love people actively and grow and learn how to do that. So how do we do that? Well, this is what he says here. Well, I think the way that we do this, first and foremost, the best way to do this is not to neglect meeting together, as some of their habit, as some people do. Why is that so important? Why is gathering together so vital for us to be a family and for us to be a people that encourages each other well? Well, I think we all know the answer to that. We all know that we get to know people well when we actually do life with them. We spend time with them. Doing activities with them or doing events with them, we never really get to that place where we know each other well to kind of forge those relationships, to really speak into each other's lives, to really encourage each other well here. And so when we meet together, we have those opportunities. Today, I have my Rooted shirt on today. We're doing Rooted Launch, which I'm so excited about. And in Rooted, we always say, God takes strangers and makes them family. And we see it all the time. People go through Rooted. They start off, they're strangers. And then finally, they go through this experience and they find this family, this amazing relationships with other people. One of the key ingredients, and it's not rocket science, okay? One of the key ingredients is for you to go through Rooted, you have to make 8 of the 10 times. You can only miss 2. You know, it's like, oh, that seems really mean. Well, you know what we found? Is that people who actually get together every single week, actually hear each other's stories, actually get to know each other, and through that, they begin to empathize with one another, they begin to help each other out, they begin to see God move in their lives, they begin to share God's stories in each other's lives, and they begin to really, really bond. People in small groups and churches that really struggle are people who come every once in a while, go to the group every once in a while, so they never kind of get there. It's just kind of, you know, hit and miss, and they struggle in those relationships. But when people gather together on a consistent basis, always see that flourishing happen. As a pastor who's gone through COVID and kind of watched through COVID, the people that I've seen who've struggled the most through COVID are those who have not really been connected to a group of people who are saying, I'm praying for you. I know this is hard. It's hard for me. How about we pray together? Hey, man, I'm calling you just to see how you're doing. Hey, how was your week? Hey, let's just continue to remind ourselves that God is with us. Remember the eternal plan that he has for us. That you have people in your lives regularly getting together to have those shared conversations. Because every single one of us in this room gets scared. I do. Every single one of us in this room get fearful. Every single one of us have anxiety. Every single one of us goes through hard times. But there is something that when we gather together with other people who walk that journey with us or to remind us of the good things of God and God's promises, we feel a little bit stronger. We feel a little bit more prepared to do those things that happen and come upon us unaware. I believe that Todd Beamer and Lisa Jefferson were two of those such people. As they were connected to their local body, they had no planning, they had no idea what was going to happen, but I believe that sense of security, of being around people who constantly remind them of the goodness of God and God's promises, allowed them to handle that crisis in a very unique and different way. I believe it's the same thing when it comes to us, when we are living in community. I believe we were the most fragile. We are the most despondent of people when we don't have those connections, when we don't have those type of relationships, when we don't have those places that we can go to other people and say, I feel really stressed. Can you guys pray for me? I feel scared. Will you pray for me? Will you remind me of God's promises? And vice versa. I know that you're afraid, but remember when you prayed for me and now I'll pray for you. But remember when you did that for me? Remember that? Hey, man, there's no shame that you feel this way. We all get this way. We're here to encourage each other, to give each other courage, which is what encouragement means. And so let's not neglect meeting together. Some people do. Why? Because we all need encouragement. We all do this together. And this is why I love this, is because this verse is really about all of us. It takes all of us to do this. We all need to be reminded of God's goodness. We all need to be encouraged about God's truth and what he says into our lives. We all need that because in that we find strength. And the rest of this time that I have with you, I just want to give you 5 reasons why I think we should gather regularly. Why we should gather regularly to worship together as one large family, and why I believe that we should gather with other people in our homes to do life to each other, to really know each other, to give each other strength as Christ is the center of that relationship and all of our relationships together. It comes from Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. I think it kind of gives us, in a lot of ways, just some ways that we can think about relationships. Because in the early church, you see this little passage here and you go, that's amazing. It's incredible what was going on in this early church. And I believe that one of the, if not the biggest key to that secret sauce of that early church were their relationships. They were just like you and I. They had faith in God, but there's no doubt in my mind with a group that big, they probably struggled with faith. We see sometimes that even the apostle Paul struggled with that. He was in the town of Corinth and Jesus Christ came to him, met him, you know, gave him a vision and basically said to him, do not be afraid. There are many of my people in this town. Go on and keep speaking. I believe that Paul had to have been going through some rough patch for Jesus Christ to be able to encourage him through that. Why would he need any encouragement? So even the Apostle Paul does. So even in the early church, when we look at this group, we kind of think of them as totally different than us. They're just like us. But I believe that their secret sauce really was their regular gathering together with God the Father as the center of their relationship. So five things why we should gather together regularly. One, first of all, is to honor our shared heritage. What does that mean? That means for us to gather together. You know why Christians meet every single Sunday morning? They started meeting Sunday mornings to remind each other in a broken, fallen world that Jesus Christ is in control and Jesus Christ is alive. It's the day he rose from the dead. We're eternal. Game on. Let's roll. We got life to do. We have a mission to live. We have a purpose that God has given us. Let's roll. Let's get this thing going. So every single Sunday, they would gather together to remind themselves of this. They would gather together in large groups. They would gather together in small groups and also to take bread and communion to remind them that Jesus Christ loves them and will not leave them nor forsake them. He gave up his own life for that. And so they would get together. And so we are to gather together to remember our legacy, that for 2,000 years, this thing has been passed down to us from generation to generation to generation to generation, that God loves us. God is with us. God has promises for us. But the way that we really activate it into our lives that we will see in the early church is through our relationships with one another. Verse 42, he goes, and it says this in Acts. All the believers devoted themselves. There was devotion. And they were devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. In other words, that's code word, that their unity was not based on what Bob thought or what John thought or what Mary thought or what this person thought. They all came together as their unity in the teachings of the apostles that was handed down to them from Jesus Christ himself. That Jesus himself, his truth and what he said of how this family was to live and their ecosystem by which they are to exist, all of their unity was found in Jesus Christ. That's where they would find their center place. It's in Christ and the relationship with Christ and the truth about Jesus Christ and his teachings. And so they all came together, devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to the fellowship, the relationships with one another. They were devoted to doing life together, sharing meals together, including the Lord's Supper, and talking to God together. But the Father was the center of this relationship here. And so they got them together to enjoy one another, to enjoy their Father together, to share with one another, and to learn about Jesus together. So we gather together to remind ourselves of all the things that God has taught us. We gather together to fellowship with each other. We gather together to talk to our Father together, to worship together as a family, as one large family. Another reason why I think we should gather together is to experience our relationship with our Father together. I think that one of the things that gives us a lot of strength is when I'm around other people and I hear their stories. Hey, let me tell you what God's been doing in my life. It's amazing. Hey, you know what? We've been talking about we've been praying for you at work. I know things are hard. Yeah, let me tell you what God's been doing. Wow, that's really cool. Not only is it neat to see God work in your life, but hearing your story has given me strength to remind me that God is good in my life. And so as we're talking about God and we're doing life with God and we're experiencing our relationship with our Heavenly Father together, that gives us great, great strength. Verse 43 goes on and it says this, there was a deep sense of awe that came over all of them as they were, you know, as the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. I don't think it was just the neat little things that the apostles were doing. I think it was a collective group that was saying, God, it's amazing that you're working amongst us. It's incredible to be able to get there together and hear the stories of what you're doing in this movement of yours, this family that you're bringing back together. It makes us stronger. Another reason why we should gather together regularly is to care for each other, to care for our family. As we as family, that we care for one another. Verse 44 and 45 says this, and all the believers met together. See, they're getting together here in one place. And what did they do? They shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared their money with those in need. And we listen and we look at this verse and we go, man, that's really great. That's amazing. But it also kind of gives me a little stress and heart attack. I'm going to sell all my stuff and just give it to some people I don't even know. That's not what it's saying here. I believe that the reason why there was so much of sharing of needs is because they knew each other well. They met one another. I bet almost every single person in here would give the shirt off their back to somebody that you know and you love, that you know is going through something hard. You would do it. Why? Because you have a relationship with them. I believe one of the reasons why we are less generous in our lives today is because we really don't know a lot of people anymore. I mean, like, really know them. We don't know their story. Or we don't really know enough of them to have our hearts be rended or broken for them. I'm not saying that, you know, that we don't help people we don't know. We should be. That's what we're called to do. But oftentimes, I believe that transactional flow flows a lot easier when we know somebody really, really, really well. In fact, I believe it's great to have a government, you know, net to help people out in need. But I believe the greatest thing that helps people, not just financially, but emotionally and relationally, is when we meet together and gather together and we talk about life together and we pray for each other. And through that, we feel this sense of burden and desire and want to share with our brothers and sisters that we know that are in need. It takes relationships. It takes those types of relationships. I've seen that within church, through my years of being in churches. I see that when there's a need, and it's a need with somebody that, you know, it's kind of on the peripheral of the church, it's really hard to get the church kind of rally around it. But I've seen people who have been part of that church for years and connected and love people and are in small groups and serving. It's like everybody comes to them. And I'm not saying that you neglect the person who nobody knows, but I'm just saying it's our natural human condition, the way that God made us, that our hearts are just naturally poured out to other people when we have relationships with other people. I believe that if we become the people like God to build those type of relationships, we will find resources flowing a whole lot easier because it will be born out of our relationships and out of our love for other people. The other thing is what we see here is that another reason for us to gather is because it strengthens our family bonds. Verse 46 says, they worship together. All the believers, again, what are they doing? They're worshiping together. They're coming together at the temple each day and met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. They gathered together in a big place like this. There, that time was the temple. All these people gathering together, worshiping God, listening to the word of God, looking around and going, man, I don't know all these people, but we're brothers and sisters. I don't know all these people, but we're here together for the same purpose, and that is to worship our God. We're all here together because we have the same Lord who died for us. We're in this. There's a sense, I believe, that one of the reasons why there's awe is that they would get together and they would look around and they would say, we're all in this together. We're not alone in this. But that's only piece of the puzzle, though. For us and the way that God has created us, I think it's great for us to get together in a large group. That's why we love football games. There's great energy in that. And I think there's something really great energy when all the saints gather together to worship in one voice. We go, man, that's powerful. But there's other piece of that. And that is getting together in our homes, breaking bread and doing relationships with other people as well. That we grow in those relationships, one-on-ones, meeting together and sharing meals and breaking bread to remind of our unity in Jesus Christ. And guess what? What did they do? How did they do it? They did it with great joy. Great joy in the relationships with one another. And obviously with generosity. They're just sharing meals, doing life together, loving each other as God is moving their hearts towards one another. And that's all happening because they're getting together. And lastly, I believe the reason why we should get together is because we need to be a family that accepts other people into our family. One of the reasons why we should be a place of gathering is so that way when you invite people here, they should come amongst us and meet other wonderful people. Everybody's looking for a family. I'm looking for a family. You're looking for a family. When new people come here, it's a great opportunity to say, hey, I'm just like you. We want you to be part of family. Come be part of our family. If we never meet, we never gather together, there's no other places for other people to connect relationally with Christ followers, to be part of and experience this beautiful family of God. And so we gather together in order for other people who come amongst us to feel like they're part of a family. And that happens in the large way, and it happens in the small way, even in with our small groups. Our small groups should be multiplying. We should never say to other people, sorry, our groups are too big for you. We don't want you. Go figure it out on your own. No. We'll figure this out. It's getting too big. That's okay. We'll multiply this thing out. Maybe we'll do once a month. We'll go have a picnic together with our two groups. But it's important for us to meet, you know, smaller groups in each other's homes so we can get to know each other and care for each other and love one another. We will not let anybody, we will not get to a point where people can't come amongst us. We will always keep that door open, and we always keep our hearts wide open for people to have family. And guess what happened? That's what happened in the early church. That's why that movement was so mind-blowing. People on the outside were looking at this group of people and going, that's incredible. That's a miracle. All these diverse people coming together and loving each other, it's incredible. The fact that they're sharing their resources to each other, that's incredible. The fact that they have joy in worshiping God, it's incredible. And you know what happened with all the outsiders? They said, can I come in? And guess what they did in the early church? Come in. Yeah, come in. No. This isn't an exclusive club. This is a club for all people who are looking for a family, who are looking for their God to be their heavenly Father, to find a Savior, Jesus Christ, who's the elder brother of this family, that connect us through the Spirit to be a bonded group of people who love each other, maybe not imperfectly, but desire to love each other well. Verse 47 says this, and while praising God, while they got together and they're praising God in their homes, big places like the temple, guess what they were doing? They were enjoying the goodwill of all the people around them. All the people, everybody in the community was going, that's special, it's amazing. And guess what happened? And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who are being saved. That's how, it's God's vision. Now, I'm a sinner, you're a sinner. I know you wouldn't want to be a sinner too, right? We are in this and it's hard. It's hard because I know I'm not perfect with relationships. I know I feel wounded sometimes when people aren't perfect with me, with their relationship with me. It's hard. And that is why we are a humble group of people who come to the Lord with all authenticity and say, I just don't do this well. Help me, Lord, to go and love other people better. Help me to be a person who shows up. Maybe if I don't even know, maybe it's just one step every single Sunday. As far as I know, I'm going to be here and I'm going to start getting to know people. Maybe it's going through Rooted today and coming afterwards and getting to know some people and start showing up. Maybe it's just some of those basic things where you carve out your calendar and say, I want to carve out my calendar to be with people in a very meaningful way with Christ as the center of that relationship. Let me tell you, I just beg you, get in those regular relationships. This ain't no, you know, church growth deal. I have no desire about, you know, being the largest church around. Whether it's here at River Run, whether it's another church, go connect. Go connect anywhere with a group of people who want to know Jesus Christ. Just connect. You'll grow stronger. You'll become wiser. You'll be strengthened. Seen it over and over in all these years. We as a collective whole, my hope is, you know, for us, is that when we gather together on Sunday morning, is yeah, we would open our doors to people who are new and open our doors to people coming in and just being part of our family. That we would do that together, not just in the yellow shirts or a host team, but we would all do that. Come be part of our family. And my hope is that we would be people who would just, you know, just love and love well in that. And when we gather together and worship, that we would remind ourselves that we worship our Father together. We're going to sing a song here, and I love it because the song really talks about us and we. And it really talks about how to remind us that worship and God's vision, when you look out throughout Scripture, it's not really about me worshiping God. What God gets really excited is when we together worship our God. And the song will just remind us that it is us. It is we. We the people of God. We the family of God. We the people who are singing the same song together. We all got in our cars from all of our different houses. We came all the way here with the same mindset of wanting to connect with this God. We're all in this together. And so as we sing this song, I'm praying and hoping that the Holy Spirit would just give you a sense of connection with all the people around you. You may not know everybody here, but I hope you know that everybody's here for the same reason why you're here. That every single person who is here desires to be part of the family, as you do as well. So let's take the first step, and let's just collect our hearts together and sing in unison as a family our praises to God and ask Him to invite Him, not into my heart, but really to invite Him into all of our hearts collectively together. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your love and Your generosity into my life, that through the shedding of the blood of Your Son, Jesus Christ, You saved me. But Father, I pray that You would, continue to work deeply within my heart and within my mind, that You didn't do that just for me. You did it for us. That this is an us thing. This is a thing that is really about our family. This is about inviting people into the family. God, You know we're not great at this, and You know this is a thing that we are to process in and to work in. And so, Father, I pray that You would just continue to remind us to give grace to each other, to accept the grace into our lives, and that You would just make us better. But God, first and foremost, we're going to spend this next time here just opening our hearts together, collectively sing out our hearts to You. And so I ask that Your Spirit would just remind us that we're here together, that we sing together, that we are a family. It's in Your Son's name I pray. Amen.